Hi, welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be. God, I pray that they would sense your presence in a way. Holy Spirit, we know that you are pursuing every person in this room. And so, God, I pray for an open heart. Lord, I pray for a willingness to receive all that you have for us. And God, I thank you that you are a good, kind, loving, gracious God. And Lord, nothing that we can do will separate us from your love. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that we would lean in this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So last week, if you didn't catch Esther's message, it's fantastic. And I'll encourage you to go onto the YouTube site and listen to it. You can just type in Exchange and you'll be able to find it there. There'll be a wonderful picture of Esther. And listen to that message, because this is a continuation of that. But you don't need to have heard that message to be able to hear this message. And one of the scriptures that was used from last week was Mark 12:29. And it says this: Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind, and all of your strength. The second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." This love that is being referenced is an agape love. We know that the definition of love is not the word in itself. When I hear love is love, it's like I wouldn't buy a dictionary that says fridge is fridge for the definition. When we read the word love, there's so much more depth to it. And this word agape is a selfless, unearned, and compassionate commitment to the ultimate well-being of others, reflecting God's love for humanity. Pretty much, it's an impossible love for us to be able to achieve within our own strength. I wish I could, but in our natural state of self, we can't. It's impossible for us to be able to achieve this love in the relationships that we have. In fact, I think, thank God for Jesus, because when you invite Jesus into your heart, the Bible says that your spirit becomes one with him. So you basically, because of that, you now have a front row seat to God's love. You get to experience this perfect love, which is pretty radical. It's a different love than what we experience in the world, the love of God. And when you experience, it's overwhelming. It changes you when you realize that God is a God of love. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." So there it is, the front row seat to actually seeing God's love outwork and flow and function in your life. Do you know, I actually think that there's people who have grown up experiencing a counterfeit love. The love that you've experienced was on a foundation of guilt, manipulation. The love was actually not love, it was more about control. And so when you hear the word love, there's a hesitation within you because you don't want to go there because of what it stirs up and it brings into your world, into your memory. But you have to understand that God's love is different than that. God's love is very different. And so when we invite Jesus into our heart, that love that we experience from him is so perfect and so pure. It's still hard for me sometimes, because I've experienced love that I thought was love and it wasn't. And so when I think about God's love and I think about my life, sometimes I feel like I'm not worthy to receive it. Amen. But did you know that I was and you are created by God to receive his love? You have the capacity to receive God's love. That's within you. Despite all the noise, all of the mess, the capacity to receive God's love. And I think that if we truly understood this love, it would change the dynamic and the connection and the intimacy that we have with God. Because we wouldn't spend our time trying to earn it through works, we would spend our time receiving it through grace. Amen. Because of how good he is. And our relationship and intimacy with him could be fast-tracked in a sense of you could get so much more closer to him if you took all of the conditions off that God never put on you to receive his love in the first place. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. Just to have that intimate relationship with him. So when Jesus said, love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, he was actually quoting from the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. And you can see it on the screen. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. So just for context and for clarification, Jesus is helping them understand that there is a transition. When he's saying this to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the group of people that he's talking to in this context, when he's quoting from the law of Moses, he is helping them understand that there's going to be a transition from the law of Moses to the law of Christ, which is the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. What a radical time to be part of a church when there's a transition from the old covenant and the law of Moses to the new covenant. Can you just imagine the theological conversations that would have come up of what is permissible, what now is not, and how that works, and how we worship, and how's church so supposed to be? It just would have been a very interesting time. But this is what's happening here. The law of Moses is a ritual. It's the ceremonial. It's the moral covenant between God and his people. And the law of Christ is a result of the fulfillment of that covenant of the law of Moses. That's what's taken place. The law of Moses is the law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Do you remember that in Exodus when he goes up to Mount Sinai, receives the law, and he comes down and gives it to the people? I believe he went up 9 times. The law of Christ is what we just read in Mark 12, 29. Now, personally, what I love is this, is Jesus is quoting from the law of Moses, the old covenant, the original covenant God made with his people. He's quoting that. And so hidden within the law of Moses, or not hidden, revealed within the law of Moses is the law of Christ. Isn't that awesome? I think the heart behind the law of Moses is God loves his people and wants relationship with his people, but God is a perfect God. And so imperfection can't be in the presence of a perfect God. And so when Jesus won the victory on the cross, that gave us the right to come boldly into the throne room of God. It changed the way in which we relate to God, which is brilliant. It's amazing. And I thank God for that. However, please notice that Jesus doesn't just quote Deuteronomy. He adds an extra little bit. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. The people instantly would have recognized, yeah, well, I recognize the first part is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. They would have instantly recognized that. But I don't know if they would have actually recognized love your neighbor as yourself. Completely different. And so what I believe is that this is a radical love that Jesus is introducing, this agape love, to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and everyone else, us who listen in the future. We are hearing them go, hearing this love, and it's like, oh, this is more. So what does this mean? How does this unfold? What does this love look like? And how am I supposed to love? He could have just said, by the way, love your neighbor. But he adds those extra 2 words, as yourself. Isn't that interesting? Well, how do I love myself? What does that even look like? Do I take selfies all the time and put them on the... What does loving myself look like? And so Jesus adds that. It's a radical love. this is as radical as the difference of saying love your nationality yourself versus love your neighbor as yourself. That's how radical the difference is. And so when I see this addition, love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God, it means that Jesus is saying that he died for both Jew and Gentile. Love your neighbor, not love your nationality, not just love Jewish people, love everybody. Love your neighbor, which could be anybody. And so now this gospel message is coming and it's expanding. And so I like to think this, if you would like an anti-ethnic segregation verse, then this is it. It's not love your nationality as yourself, it's love your neighbor as yourself. It means love everybody. We should love everyone that we come in contact with and have that heart, that compassion, and that motive for. So we also see this same conflict, this racial conflict that would have been there with the Samaritan woman at the well. When she was talking to Jesus, she said, well, I'm not allowed to even worship in Jerusalem. We have to worship here on this mountain. And so here's this radical love, this agape love that is redefining the way in which we love one another. And again, to reemphasize Esther's message from last week, this agape love emphasizes that our love for God should be a complete and total devotion of our entire being. That's what this love looks like. Heart represents the core of our emotion and desires. Soul refers to our deepest self and vitality, and mind signifies our intellectual capacity, will, and determination. And together, heart, mind, and soul, and this agape love, what is it really saying? They mean God should be the supreme object of our affection, thought, and commitment expressed through every faculty and action. Basically, it means give God everything you've got. That's the kind of love that God is asking for. And when we agape our neighbor, that means we give them everything that we've got. We love them with everything that we've got within our heart, mind, and soul. Sounds pretty easy when I say it from up here, amen? Which brings me to my next thought. Now put your seatbelt on, because now it's going over the bumpy section. I believe that there is a contrast between God's perfect love and our partial love. Now, I believe that we share in the attributes of God. I am not all-knowing. I don't know every piece of information, but I have information. I'm not omniscient. I know things, though. I'm not omnipresent. I take up some space, but I'm not omnipresent. Amen. I'm not omnipotent. I'm not all-powerful, but yet the Holy Spirit's power is within me. Amen. And so I partially share in these attributes of God. When I think about any problem that I've got, it's solved within the attributes of God. I can promise you that. And I think about the different attributes, and one of them being love. I don't have perfect agape love, but I have the capacity to love. Amen. But then I'll also add a little bit of me in there. Right? That's what we all do. We add a little bit of us into our love formula. Right? And that's never good, because when you add you into it, you add the humanity side, then things start to get messy. The reason why we experience tension within relationships is because we can partially love with agape love, God's love that came in us when we invited Jesus into our heart, that we now have a front row seat to see. The reason why we have tension is because we can also put behind that love, we can put our humanity, we can put manipulation, guilt. You know, I give you something because I'm expecting something in return. Or I do something for you because I want my back scratched as well. Have you ever had someone give something to you and every time you see them, they remind you that they gave that thing to you? Because even though it was at the start, wow, this guy gave me something, but then in sneaks this little undisclosed agenda of I want a return on my investment. You know, I love I love salespeople, but sometimes salespeople, I don't know if they really do like me or they don't like me. I think, you know, I'm not picking on car salesmen, but I feel real good when I go to the car yard and people are like, yeah. I've met a lot of contractors over this last little season. Man, I'm the best pastor in the East Bay. I don't know if you know that. They told me, you just need to go and ask them. I'm not saying that they're sneakishly trying to, but what I am saying is that there's God's, you've received Christ in you and you have the capacity to agape, but we also have our humanity which can compromise that. God loves us perfectly. God also created us with the ability to perfectly love, but our humanity causes us to love partially. Partial love is God's love plus my sinful nature. Amen? My sinful nature. 1 John 4:19 says this. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this commandment. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. So love is not a suggestion, it's a commandment to love each other. And so we're stuck in this conundrum. There's this tension of conflict. And this is the issue that I really want to bring up today, is this. Is why is it that when we mess up and we make mistakes, God's love for us does not change? It doesn't change. But when someone we know messes up, our love for them changes. It's almost like that pressure or that betrayal exposes whether I was truly agape-ing love that person. It brings out the true nature of who I really am. You know, I think the prodigal son story would have looked a whole lot different if the prodigal son's father allowed the pain of his son taking his inheritance and leaving, if he allowed that to become greater than love, the story would have finished very differently. But the love that the father had, regardless of what the prodigal son did, didn't change. His love remained the same. And some even suggest that that love was so great that he was waiting for him to return. And then he saw him in the distance. I think the way and the reason he saw him in the distance is because he was waiting for him with a robe, with a ring, with sandals, and a fattened calf for a barbecue. I think that that kind of love is the love, that agape love is the love that we should be aspiring to. 1 John 4:7 says this, Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. I'm just going to pause right there. Love comes from God. You are a custodian. What's the word I'm trying to look for? The word, a conduit of love. God is putting his love in you and through you. Don't let our humanity shut that love down. Don't allow our humanity to stop that. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. To say love is not a preference. It's a choice that requires faith in Jesus. To love someone despite the pain of what they've done to you or caused you, to still choose to love them requires having faith in Jesus, faith to forgive that person. Sometimes that's the cost of loving someone. To remain in love, the cost is forgiveness. And sometimes the cost for you might be to remain in love is repentance. You need to repent to the other person. And sometimes the cost to remaining in love is obedience, is actually being obedient to what God is actually asking you to do. And maybe to avoid omission, you
declare or say to someone something that that person needs to hear. And I think that's a wonderful way to express that agape love. Isn't it a privilege that you are a carrier of God's love and you get to share that with people? Isn't it wonderful? Those moments, it doesn't happen for me all the time, but there's sometimes in your work environment where someone will come up to you and say, man, I just love the way that you are. I was talking with Brian Sturgis, and he was speaking to our youth today. And he says, he said this in men's group the other morning. He said, I don't know what it is about you, but I want what you've got. And he knows it's Jesus is what he's got. It's God's love. What a privilege to be a custodian and share of that God's love. I believe, right, I'm going to make a statement here about love. Before I make this statement, I want to make something clear. I'm not hating on anyone here. This is not my heart or my thing. I believe that there are biblical grounds for divorce, such as adultery, abuse, abandonment from an unbelieving spouse that we see in Scripture. So when I say love is a choice, I understand for some people that's a difficult choice. And I believe that God's grace is here and God's love is here to help us through that journey. Amen. But I believe love is a choice. I'm always fascinated. I remember in Australia, there was this wonderful couple and they got married so in love. Just that awkward, you know, get out of the room. And the journey from I do to I don't was just fascinating for me to watch. I didn't understand it because in my understanding of love was once I say I do, that's it. I've made that choice. And again, that's why I premise this with, I know some of you have gone through the worst scenarios and I pray God's grace over you. But for me and my understanding is when I say I do, I'm saying this is a choice. I'm choosing by faith to forgive, to be obedient, to repent in that relationship. And this is one of my favorite stories. There was a court case that happened in 1972 and it was a stubborn Amish man. And his name was Jonas Yoder. It's a great name, Jonas Yoder. And this court case made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. Basically, the court said that he had to put his daughter in the public education system. And he didn't want to do that because he was Amish and for religious reasons. And so he was a stubborn Amish man. And so they were trying to do all these different angles. And he just kept on fighting and fighting and fighting. The United States Supreme Court ruled that all beliefs fall under one of two categories. And this is how the court case went. They're either a preference, something that you prefer to do, or a conviction, something that is in the fiber of your being. And if you don't do it, then you have sinned against your God. That's how significant and important it is to you. It's either a preference or it's a conviction. So you can go this afternoon downtown to Walnut Creek and stand on the corner of Tiffany's and preach Jesus all you want. But if peer pressure comes upon you and your friends start to tell you and tease you for being a Christian, then and you reject God, then it was really only a preference. It was never a conviction. So the question is how do you get from preference to conviction? And so what they decided to do is that they decided they needed to come up with a test. And this is the test that the United States Supreme Court came up with. The first one is pressure of family. If your family excommunicates you because of your faith, then it was only a preference. It was never actually a conviction. Amen? The second test was peer pressure. And we see this one a lot growing up in Australia. I used to get teased a lot for being a Christian. In fact, in my high school, I was one of maybe three Christians. And by the time we left, one of maybe 50, 60 Christians, a lot of people got saved. Amen. Under that pressure, the kids would tease me all the time for being a Christian. And at Christmas time, I would get birthday cards because they would call me Jesus. And so it was very clever, actually, I think. But for me, it was a conviction. I wasn't a Christian because I thought it was cool or it was convenient. I was a Christian because I encountered the radical love of Jesus and it changed my life from the inside out. And there's nothing that man could do that could take that away. I can't unexperience and unencounter Jesus the way that I did. And so I stand on that foundation of who Jesus is. And so that peer pressure didn't even budge what God had done in my, didn't even compare to what God had done. But if you buckle under that peer pressure, then it was really only a preference, not a conviction. The next one is the threat of jail. So imagine America, they decide to pass a law that it is now considered illegal to be a Christian. In fact, there are countries where this is the case and persecution is a reality. And that's where their faith is tested. And that's where it is decided for that person as they stand before God, whether it was just a preference, something of convenience, or that sounded good, something that you'd say at the, someone who you'd thank at the end of a rock concert, versus this is actually a conviction. So under threat of jail. And the last one is threat of death. Are you willing to die for this conviction? If you're willing to surrender, then it was never a conviction. It was only a preference. Convictions strengthen under pressure. A conviction will strengthen. Convictions are non-negotiable. So when I made a decision to love Ellie and I said I do, it is non-negotiable. When I made a decision to follow Jesus and I made that, invited Christ in my heart, that was a non-negotiable decision. Although it's tested and it's challenged, but I still want to live with that agape love, amen? Amen. Convictions are part of who you are in Christ. They come from your relationship with God. And so when I think about my conviction and my love for God, and I think about my commitment to God, I want to make sure that I'm not turning my convictions into preferences. Amen? That means that when I'm committed to the call of God that's on my life, this is not a preference. It's not a preference for me, just so you know, to live in a land flowing with walnuts and creeks. Right? I did not wake up in Australia and thought to myself, you know what would be awesome? Let's leave all of these beautiful beaches and amazing coffee and live in Walnut Creek. I didn't even know this place existed. But because of my relationship with Jesus and a conviction and the love of God that I've encountered, I am going to be obedient to that conviction and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not a wishy-washy thrown back and forward in the storm. No, standing on a conviction that comes from God because of God's strength and power. This is not about me. This is about God. Amen. Following Jesus is not something that we prefer to do, but rather is something that happens to us because of what the Holy Spirit did in us. And although our love for God and others can be a preference, my encouragement today is that we give the Holy Spirit permission for it to become a conviction. So when I think about some of the relationships that I have in my world, some of the ones that have tension, they're all in different places. I still want to agape that person. And it's not easy. Is it not easy, amen? It's not easy to remain in that place of wanting to agape, love them with a no mark in that, no humanity, no selfishness. It's just purely sharing God's love from a conditional love to an agape love of people. Love overcame sin, so don't let sin overcome love. Love overcame sin, so don't let sin overcome love. Don't allow sin to dilute, to take away, or to mess with God's perfect love. Even though our sin can't change God's love, but we can definitely try to get in the way of it and slow it down and put our own humanity in it. I want more of the God in me being felt by other people and experienced. I don't want the mark part of me being felt. And this is a hard prayer to pray, and this is a hard task, and this is why a lot of our relationships end up in tension, is because we are struggling with going between allowing Christ to work through me and myself to get caught up in that web. So I think this morning it would be awesome if we could each just start to think about different people in our world right now, maybe over the journey of your life and maybe the journey of people in your family, and there's tension there. people that maybe you haven't spoken to or people that you're frustrated with. And I just really believe that it's that agape love that's in us that we possess, that we need to allow to put pressure on our humanity to stop and allow the Holy Spirit's power to work through us so that we can see God's power restore and build relationships back to health. Wouldn't that be awesome? To be able to see God work through us in a way and see people's lives change because of it and see our lives change because of it. Because obviously it's not just all about us, amen. So God, I just pray right now. Lord, for every person in here that, Lord, has once upon a time made a decision to count the cost of a relationship. Lord, but over the season and the journey of that relationship, as tension has come up, it has been diluted down to a relationship, Lord, that is not in a place of healthiness. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now in this moment that you would begin to soften our hearts. Lord, I thank you that this prayer is not about the sin that person committed, but it's about your love that's in us. Holy Spirit, I pray that there would be an awareness, Lord, within ourselves. Holy Spirit, convict and reveal, Lord, where we need to let go and choose to put trust in you. God, out with the preference and in with the conviction that only you can bring. Lord, a conviction, Lord, that has the power of the Holy Spirit within it. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that even broken relationships that have been dislocated for many and many years, but because of your love, Lord, I pray that we would stand with the same hope of the prodigal son's father and to believe for the relationship to be restored. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would guard our hearts against the prodigal son's brother, Lord, who wants to make it about being fair rather than grace and love. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that your death and resurrection on the cross made this possible, that we can have hope and we can believe that you can do it. Lord, that you can see, Lord, our lost friends come home, our broken relationships restored. Lord, even now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give people in this room pictures and images of the relationship being restored, images of them hugging, making up, Lord, images of holding each other in their arms and tears, Lord, as your healing power and your love, Lord, is restoring that which the enemy tried to steal, kill, and destroy. God, we thank you that your love is greater, Lord, than the sin that tries to destroy us. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that you are a loving and kind and gracious God, a righteous God, a just God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and in this place this morning, Lord, I pray that we would receive this word and be a carrier of this word in this next season to see and count the cost of what it means, Lord, to live in unity, to see your blessing commanded in Jesus' name. While everyone's eyes are still closed, I'm just going to pray. There's people here this morning and maybe you feel that you are disconnected from God's love or disconnected from Jesus. And maybe, I don't know, so many different people have many different experiences. Maybe you've been part of a church and you were hurt. I just really believe that God's love and his power is here today to connect people back to him. God's heart is to be in relationship with mankind. The Bible says 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross for our sin. And it's our sin that separates us from God. And I wouldn't know what to do with my sin if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't know what to do with all of the guilt and the shame and the stuff that comes with that sin. I thank God for Jesus' victory on the cross so I can repent of that sin, give it to him, and have freedom and victory in Christ. The Bible says that if you ask Jesus into your heart, if you believe in your by faith and confess your sins, that you will be saved. Basically, if you make a decision to take the steering, hands off the steering wheel of your life and give Jesus control, the Bible says that you'll be saved. And so this morning, I always believe that there's usually three groups, people who know God and in a relationship with him. But then the second group is people who are disconnected from Jesus. And Maybe you once had a relationship with him, but now you've got busy, life got busy, and you find yourself away. And I believe that God creates moments like this for us to bring us back to him. God draws us back. And the third group, maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus and accept him into your heart. So what I'm going to do is this, is if you're in those latter two groups, you've never made a decision for Christ, or maybe you've fallen away and it's time to come home. But I'm going to count to three. While everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed and people in this room are praying, I'm going to simply ask you to slip your hand up and say, you know what, yeah, that's me. I want to pray a prayer. And just for clarity, I'm not going to embarrass you or get you down the front or anything like this. It's between you and God in this moment here. So if you this morning say that's you, slip your hand up nice and high right now. If that's you today and you want to make Jesus your Lord, or you want to recommit your life to him, slip your hand up nice and high right now. This is what we love to do as a church, to give people that opportunity. Awesome. Once you've put it up, you can put it back down. So anybody else this morning says, yes, I want to invite Christ into my heart. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit is knocking on some people's hearts right now. If that's you this morning, stick your hand up and I'll see it, and then we'll pray. Just going to give one more moment. Fantastic. We're going to church together. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we're all going to pray this prayer, but especially for the people who put their hand up this morning, take my words, but make them yours and pray them authentically to God. So in a loud voice together, dear God, I come to you this morning and I ask for your forgiveness for all the times I've hurt you and all the times I've hurt others. Holy Spirit, help me and guide me and fill me to live each day for you. And so with my mouth, from my heart, I confess you as Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a hand for that.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.